Tim at all this morning. We just prayed earlier today, and I sit in my chair and I just prayed under my breath. I said, "Lord, give me the faith to face Goliath today." And Brother Tim got up and started singing that song. Like, "Oh, thank you, Lord." It's just, Lord's a good on time God. A lot of times, you know.
That was a completely last second change.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, on time God. Amen. Just love every one of you, and I'm honored to be in service with you this morning. I just ask you to pull on the word today, because I'm just a man, but if I get myself out of the way, God can do some great things this morning. Let's all just turn to the word of God this morning, to St. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And I want to speak to you on "He is Him." And if I put a subtitle, I would put "Keep Trying." Keep trying. St. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And we'll just read this in the name of the Lord. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And let's go to read just one quote. He says, "Did you know God knew that we'd be standing here 10 million years before the world ever was founded? Did you know he knew we'd be standing here this morning? The infinity of God knowed every fly, every gnat, every time they bat their eyes, and how much tallow they would produce. Before the world was ever formed, God knew it. Now you say, well, if he knows it, then why are you preaching? That's part of God's program. Preaching is his program. When he looked upon the apostles, he looked upon the harvest. He said, the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." How many remember that? Well, why would they have to pray to the Lord of harvest to send laborers into his harvest if the Lord of the harvest was standing there knowing it would be done? Why? God has so arranged it that this, now listen to this, God has so arranged it that his program cannot move without you and I. Amen. And as long as we're not doing what God leads us to do, we're paralyzing his program. But when the church moves by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then we're in God's will doing his program. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We humble ourselves before you. I ask you that you would just use this piece of clay, Lord, and do whatever you want to do today, Lord. We give everything to you. Lord, help us to receive you with the right attitude, with the right approach, with an expectant heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. God is a God of power. And anything that has power has characteristics about it, whether it be dynamite, grenades, or electricity, all have power and all have characteristics. Is that right?
Right.
And just having it has no effect. And just having electricity has no effect. And as we're reading another quote here, just try to build a foundation. He says, "Not long ago, when the church began to get a little different, formal, and cold, many of you full gospel people, you couldn't stand that. You started craving and thirsting after more of God. And if you're thirsting for more of God, there's got to be more of God to respond to that thirst, or you never have the thirst. That's the reason God poured out his Holy Spirit upon you, because you were thirsting for God. And if you thirst like that, now the deep calling to the deep now, I have said some time ago, there were some people, electricity for instance. Electricity has always been in the world. Since God made the world, there was electricity. The lightning splashed and so forth, I guess since the antediluvian destruction anyhow. But it's always been in the world. But one time there was a man by the name of Benjamin Franklin that took a fishing string and put it on a kite and a key. And the lightning struck the key and run down and hit in the bottle. And he stopped the bottle up, and he began to scream, "I've got it, I've got it, I've got it." He had it, but he didn't know what he had. And that's just about the way many people who get saved and really don't know what it's all about. Now, that's as far as he ever went. That's the same way it is with many church people today. They say, God saved me from my sin, certainly. Well, the God that saved you from sin can give you happiness and peace and joy and heal your body and rapture you into glory. Why? The powers are in there to work. You say amen?
Amen.
Electricity was always here, but it didn't do any good by being just around them. And to me, it reminds me of a seed. The seed has always got the transforming power potential inside of it, but it needs the light to penetrate that seed, and that transforming power inside that seed will transform it into what it is called to be. Benjamin Franklin didn't know all about electricity, but he had a pull inside of him enough to believe there's something out there. And he couldn't get it off of his mind, and he got so concerned within himself that he had to do something about this concern that he said. There's something inside Benjamin that said, there's got to be something out there. There's got to be a power out there. There's something. And, you know, if he just had that concern, we would probably still be in darkness today unless somebody else figured it out. Benjamin Franklin had a desire. There was something inside him that kept compelling him to do something to find this power that's out there. And a lot of people probably look, he looked pretty foolish. Could you imagine looking at an old man out there with a kite? Flying a kite with a bottle? What are you doing out here? You see an old man? He said, because there's a power out there. There's something out there. You are foolish. You're crazy. A lot of people said, you may as well go to a old folks home. But there was something inside of him that said, remind you, the electricity was always there. But there was something inside of him said, I'm not satisfied with it just being out there. There was a something inside of him that says, I've got to do something to get a hold of this power that's around me. And after he acted on the pull in the heart, that pull in his heart transformed to something more of feeling something and seeing something. I want to show you something. In your heart, a lot of time, brother and sister, God will deal with the pull of your heart to tell you there was more of God for you. There is more of the Holy Ghost for you. There is healing for you. There is victory for you. God will put the pull in your heart. But if you don't do anything with that pull that God puts in your heart, you will sit right where you're at. And the victory, the potential for victory is all around you.
Right.
We got to get concerned enough that don't care how foolish I look. If it takes me being outside with a kite, with a jar and a string tied on it, for me to get the victory, I want my kite.
Amen.
I don't matter how foolish I look. I want a victory. I want the power, not just out there. I want it working in my life.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to get concerned enough to act upon the pull that God puts in our hearts. Because remember, we can paralyze the move of God because we are not acting upon God leading us to do something. Another quote, he says, Thomas Edison believed that. The people thought he was crazy. But he knew that he was all right. But he said something in him told him that that current would follow a certain wire. And he tried tens of thousands of them. He would try one, throw it over to one side. Try it again, throw it over to the side. Thousands and thousands he tried, and still no current. It didn't discourage him. He kept right on trying wires until he found one that the current would follow. And then when he did that, he gave the world electricity. Ain't that wonderful? This man had so many opportunities. Say, I'm going to try to make this work. It don't work. I'm going to try to get this electricity, this current to work. It don't work. I want to try to go through this prayer line. It didn't work. I'm going to try to go over here. It didn't work. I need this healing. I'm going to try. It didn't work. I'm going to tell you something. Keep trying.
Amen.
You keep trying. One more time. You keep trying. I may not have felt like I got it there, but you know what? I'm going to keep trying because I want my victory.
Amen.
Amen. You got to be willing to try. You got to be willing to give up. You got to be willing to say, you know what? I may have failed then. I'm stepping up today.
Amen.
Because I'm trying. If you look up the word trying, trying means to be severely straining the powers of endurance. It's not easy to keep trying. If there is a decision to keep trying, there is a decision to quit. And synonyms for trying is vexing, bothersome, irksome, and irritating. You say amen?
Amen.
You're trying to do that math deal and you keep trying, you keep failing, you get irritated. Yeah, man?
Amen.
You bunch of little angels, just put your halos, put them in your back pockets. There's sometimes you say, you know what? I'm going to walk this road. I'm going to serve God with all my heart. I'm going to do things great. I'm going to serve God with everything. And what do? The devil will put a banana out there. You'll slip on the banana.
Right. Yeah.
And it can get irritating. Mm-hmm. Keep trying.
Amen.
Get back up. Say, you know what? God, you are faithful. You are worthy of my praise. I'm going to serve you with all my heart because you are worthy. Not because I am, because you are worthy.
Amen.
Amen. He may have tried thousands of wires to find the current. And brother and sister, I would that we would keep trying till we find the current.
Amen.
Where we got the current of the Holy Ghost moving in our hearts, moving in our lives, and I know I am following the will of God for my life.
Amen.
The devil will try so hard to get you to stumble through life, or you are just going through life. Listen to me. We are not called to that.
Amen.
We are called to walk by the Spirit of God where God is leading you, where we are walking in His Spirit. We're on a daily basis, we're listening to Him. Did you know what? That Holy Spirit is a dove. When you greet that Holy Spirit, He will go to another branch until you make things right. But listen to me. When you make things right, brother and sister, He wants to come back to you. God wants to come. The Holy Spirit wants to come right back into your life.
Amen.
And lead you. Amen. Think of that. God wants to lead you.
Amen.
Amen? How many want to be led?
Amen.
I want to be led by His Spirit. You were born for a purpose, and you were born for a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beyond just being a truck driver. It's beyond being a car salesman. It's beyond working for Walmart. You were born for a mission.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart, each one of us are ordained to touch specific lives while we are
yeah.
here.
Yeah, right.
That is our mission. Now, if we can make money on the way, hey, go for it. If we can catch fish on the way, go for it. But that's not the mission. The mission is I want to be led by God's Spirit to where I can be His light, where I can light the world.
Amen.
Not in myself, by yielding and because I am connecting myself to God's current of
Amen.
His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It says, what is it? It was God going to the light. What is it? It was God going to light the world with His own electricity. He had been there all the time. It was here all the time. But they just didn't know how to harness it and make it work for you. Well, now that same Holy Spirit that fell on that day of Pentecost, that's healed the sick back there, it's been here in the church all the time. But the thing of it is, you don't know how to make it work for you. Now, the thing that makes it work is faith to believe. And when you believe and take Him at His word, that's the lifeline, and it cannot fail. Now, if you go in the morning and turn on your electric iron, some of you women, to start ironing, and the first thing you know, the iron doesn't come on. Well, you'll not go around and say, well, there's no such thing as electricity. No, you wouldn't do that. There's something wrong. You got your wires crossed up. And that's what's the matter with many people that say, well, I got prayed for and I didn't get healed. There's no such thing as divine healing. You just got your wires crossed up. Look at the others that's getting healed, see? There's something wrong with you, not with God. Brother and sister, many times do you need a healing in your body and somebody else receive healing and you can't get it. Brother Branham talked about the woman that was a prostitute that had faith to receive healing and she got her healing and walked away victorious. And another sister in the church that was faithful to the church could not have the faith to reach the healing. Imagine, you think that was not an opportunity to get frustrated and say, you know what, why? Why can they receive their healing, but I can't, but I'm trying to do things? Let me see. Does that mean healing's not there? Listen, healing is here, brother and sister.
Amen.
You need victory in your life? It is here. If you need deliverance from something that keeps coming back, and you get delivered, it keeps coming back. You try to get delivered, it keeps coming back. Listen to me, deliverance is for you.
Amen.
If God can do it for anybody, and you come with the same faith, the same approach, God will do it for you.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. I do. It's time that we get connected. How foolish would it be to just say, you know what, go in here and flip the switch on and the light don't come on, so well, there's no such thing. This is just God's will. It's not God's will. It's not God's will for you to walk under your privilege as a son and daughter of God. It's not God's will. Amen?
Amen.
That's a cop-out. I'm a minister. I'm not commissioned to say you settle for that. I can't do that. The blood of Jesus Christ has shattered sin. He took every step. that would do that? You think I would stand back and let somebody beat you up on the parking lot? Are you kidding me? But spiritually speaking, that's what the devil's doing week after week.
Right.
Whenever he'll beat you down and make you think you're not good enough.
Right.
Listen to me. You do not have to settle for anything the devil gives you. If you're fighting financial stress, I serve a God that can provide all your needs.
Amen. Glory.
If you need healing in your body, he will heal your body, but you got to touch the current. You got to get a hold of the current. Listen, there was many people around Jesus that never received their healing. They were right next to him. Amen. There were some cities he could do one healing. But let me tell you something. In Van Buren, there's people right here that believe him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
When you feel like you don't believe him, you confess him with your mouth. I'm healed.
That's right.
I'm delivered. God's going to meet my need. You know, our sales were so low the other day. I had nothing, absolutely nothing working whatsoever. And you know what I started doing? I started speaking the word. I said, God is sending me a customer. Guys at work said, who's coming? I don't know yet, but they're coming. I've got a customer coming. They're on their way. I said, Daniel's got a customer. They called me to the office. Hey, you got a customer coming? Yep.
Yeah.
Guess how many cars I sold this week? I'll tell you, none of your business. But you know what I did? I spoke the word. Looked absolutely impossible, felt nothing, saw nothing, but you know what? It looked at me as I have nothing, but all I got to do is speak that word. They're coming. Listen to me. My kids are coming. My kids are going to serve the Lord. My kids are going to do this. My kids are healed.
Yeah.
Speak that word. Speak that word. My God is awesome. You know what? You can welcome them stinking devils all around you, talking negativity, listening to negativity. Listen, you should never allow anybody to talk down to your brother or your sister. You should never turn your ear to that garbage. Whenever you hear someone talk that, you turn the conversation or you get away from them. Because you know what? We are better than that.
Yeah.
We're called better than that. But you know what? We should create an atmosphere where we're talking about faith. We're talking about healing. We're talking about a God that meets our needs. Because when you're doing that, you're welcoming faith. You're welcoming the angels. You're welcoming these things. But you know what? If we spend our time talking about the negativity, think about what we don't have, that's exactly what we'll have is what we don't have.
Right.
We got to start speaking about that little land. How many are from that other land? Yeah. I'm from that other land, brother and sister. I'm carrying my grapes around. When I go to work, I'm carrying my grapes. When I come to church, I'm carrying my grapes. With my attitude, I'm carrying my grapes.
Man.
So whenever you sit with the dead, don't get down. Remind me with your grapes.
Right.
Amen. When you see your brother or sister down, don't beat them down. Show them some grapes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
I didn't mean to go down that road, but praise God anyhow.
Yeah.
When all the connections are made according to the schematic, it works. Let me tell you something. When we put everything according to this schematic, listen to me, the divine promises work. Amen.
Right.
It's not about feelings. It's not about emotions. It's where I believe this. I believe it. Amen. Well, you must look at the right schematic. And we don't want to look at men's thoughts. We want to look at men's ideas. Let's look at God's schematic and let's take some things from scriptures and let's see if we can see what God wants to show us. Let's go to St. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. It says, and Jesus passed by and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned or his parents, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know, so many times whenever sickness or some kind of trial will hit someone's life, and people will say, you know what? Sin. Backslid.
Mm-hmm.
Which one did it? Was it the mom? Was it the dad? Which one of them were backslid? That's why you're going through this trial. Let me ask you something. Let me go through trial. How many of you trying to serve God with all your heart? Absolutely. Stinking devil is the same spirit that was on the people that were trying to comfort Job. Jesus healed this man with mud, spit in the mud. We know you know the scriptures. Spit in mud, put mud in his eyeballs. Now, if I was to welcome you to come up for prayer, and I had some dirt in here, spitting that mud and rubbing your eye, how many would you say, you may spit in my eyeball? Jesus spit on mud and rubbed it on the guy's eyes and it healed him. Brother Brennan talked about how the man said, would you by be willing to give them a new call? If that's what it takes, if that's what God calls you to do, is kneel down in the manure pile. Now, that don't mean you have to go out and go kneel in the manure pile. But if God calls you to do that, you've got to be willing to do it. It don't matter what it is. If it means me taking a cot, I want to find a cot. If it means kneeling in manure, I want to kneel in manure. If it means putting spit on a piece of dirt and putting it in my eyeball, I want to do it.
Right.
So he's like, well, I'm thinking that, Brother Daniel. I don't know. It's kind of gross. Did it happen?
Yep.
And it healed him. The religious leaders that heard about this healing taking place should have been excited about a move of God. They should have been saying, praise God, he's healed. The man's healed. Praise God. Spit on dirt and put it in his eyeball. How awesome is God? But you know what? They didn't do that. Think of that. These religious leaders should have been so mindful of their people, so loved their people so much. I don't care where they go to get healed at. If it means going over here, getting prayed for, getting healed, I say, praise God, they're healed. You say amen?
Yeah, right.
Does it offend you if you hear a testimony of somewhere else? I don't care if it's a Baptist church up the street. They get healing. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, praise God. Heard a man that I work with, his sister was bound to all kinds of things like that, and drinking and doing all kinds of different things. And I know that connection because I remember that. She was thirsting for something. She was needing God in her life. He told me yesterday, he said, Daniel, he said, you don't believe that. He said, my sister gave her heart to the Lord.
Amen.
I wanted so bad to be able to meet her. He said, give her heart to the Lord. And said that she, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, because I'm talking about faith, talking about healing, and talking about salvation, talking about things. He said, man, he said, like what you're talking about. He said, my sister needed money for her job. They needed $300 to pay her electric, and she had no idea how she was going to pay for it, or his house payment. Had no idea how she was going to pay for it. She said, oh, God, help me. And she said, just simplicity, went before the Lord, said, God, I don't know what to do. I need your help. Went to church, and a sister come up to her and said, I don't know why. He said, but the Lord told me to give this to you. Gave her an envelope. Guess what was in it? $300. Never met the woman. Gave her $300. You know what Brother Daniel said? Praise God! That's my God. That does not offend me. I say, praise the Lord. Just listen to me. We are one team. We are one body. We got one place. Amen. We've been given a message. We have to walk in the light that God showed us. And if that's all she can walk in, praise God, sister, you walk in all you got.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me. That's what we're called to. We're called to pull them to live as absolutely high as you can possibly live. If we are not doing that, there's something wrong with us. Because
right.
It is no big I and little you. We are all lost without the grace of God. You say amen?
Amen.
I believe we all believe that. Stop brushing your hair. Brushing your hair sometimes, I've said this many times. It's not because you got tangles, it's to make sure you don't. So if you hear that, it hurts. Well, just bear with me. We'll try to get all the tangles out. Amen? It does not offend me to hear testimonies of God doing something, because only God can do that.
Right.
Amen. These people should have been so thankful and rejoiced because of this, but it made them angry because it didn't come through them. Let's go to St. John chapter 9, verses 18 through 41. But Jesus did not believe, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who had opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake the parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Isn't that something? Kick him out of the church. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. I love this scripture. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. You say amen? I may not know all the quotes. I may not understand all the trumpets. I may not under this. I may not understand that. But one thing I know.
Amen.
I once was blind, but now I see.
Yes.
Don't that make you happy? I know I'm a son of God. I know. There was a moment when God shined the light on me and I was able to see. And I saw, I'm a son. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not a dope addict. I'm not a failure. Though I may make mistakes. I'm a son of God.
Right.
Amen. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, and I just love this dude. He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore do you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Could you imagine looking at their face? I've already told you. Oh, you want to follow too? I love the word. It's awesome. Amen? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Oh boy, don't that sound like something? You're going to tell me you follow Jesus? We're Branham's disciples. You know what? It all points to the word. Every bit of it. If they were really following Moses, they would have recognized that this is Jesus. But they weren't. And listen to me, many people today, they follow Branham, but they are missing Jesus. Brother and sister, that's where it's at. If you miss Jesus, you have missed the boat.
That's right.
Amen. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. I wonder how. These are leaders. The man answered and said unto him, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not of whence he is, and yet he had opened mine eyes. It's a good question. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it is not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. And this man were not of God, he could not do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Think of this. This was a man that had some experience. This is a man that was blind. Blind. And now he can see. And he's testifying of an experience that he has just done. And said, you're born in sin. You're going to teach us. We're the leaders. You're going to tell us about these things? Brother and sister, I want some experience. Where I can experience the word myself.
Amen.
You say amen. I know who Jesus is. I know because I was blind, and now I can see. It's so important that each one of us can testify, I was blind,
right,
and now I can see.
Yeah.
Amen? He answered and said, who is, we go to verse 35, that's where we are. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Brother and sister, to me that's so profound.
Amen.
You say, I want to see God. I want to see you. I want to worship the Son of God. He said, the very one that's been speaking to you all the days of your life, I am he. Brother and sister, that still small voice that God speaks to you on the daily voice, that's the same voice that said, Lazarus, come forth. It's the same voice that tells the dogwood trees. You may drive down the hall, down the highway and it looks just like normal. The next one you come up, the dogwoods are blooming. It don't matter where you go, they're blooming. Why? The same voice speaks to those dogwoods and tells them it is time to bloom. You don't hear the voice? How many of you heard a voice whenever you hear those dogwoods? You don't hear it. How many of you heard the sunshine, the sunrise this morning? You don't hear it. It's not loud. A lot of times I think man falls to the point of thinking you have to speak real loud to make things happen. You know? And you don't. It's not about speaking loud. It's about having a cold fire when you're speaking. You know, having a substance when you're speaking. And you know what? That's what it is. It's not about how loud you can speak. It's just saying it loud don't make it right. Remember that. When someone tries to argue with you, speaking, don't just yelling don't make it right. You're just making yourself look silly.
Right, right.
Amen. Now, I'm probably one of the most emotional people you get. I shout, not loud. I do that. I'm exaggerating, and there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Brother Graham talked about one time, he said that woman just screamed because she received the Holy Ghost or whatever she had done, and she had got shouted, and that woman said, when I heard that woman scream, it just had a shiver go all the way down my back. Brother Graham said, when you get to heaven, you'll freeze to death. He said, because people will be shouting all over the place. I remember when I was little, Brother Brown talked about this story. I'll get back to this in just a minute. Talking about the Holy Ghost. I remember whenever I was little, I was an honorary little guy. I know. You're thinking, Brother Daniel? No. I was. Me and my brothers, we would camp in this tent, and we'd go catch fish, and we'd steal mom's salt and pepper and her knives and all kinds of stuff, and we had this good old kitchenette out there. Had a good old time. We got plenty of weapons for it, too. I remember one time we had our campfire out there, and we were sitting around the fire, and we saw a turtle. And there ain't nothing worse than a stinking turtle when you're trying to fish. I got this turtle out of that, and I said, you know what? Maybe we should just, I'm going to confess, okay? I killed it. I'd massacre it, okay? I would destroy it, okay? Let's get it all out there. I'd kill this turtle. You brothers have done it too. Don't look at me like that. I had this turtle. I pulled him out, and he caught his head inside that shell, legs inside that shell, tail inside that shell, and I tried getting him to come out of that shell. And I remember taking a stick and beating him with a stick, never come out. Put him in the water, he tried to swim away. He never would come out. And you know what we did as boys? Put him on a frying pan and stuck him on the fire. And I'm here to tell you something. Them legs went to kicking. And he went to jumping out of that pot. I'm here to tell you something. You get a little fire inside you, it'll cause a little kick. You get a little fire inside you, it'll cause a little bit of emotion. You know, if you ain't got, I did let him go. Better remember. The point I'm trying to sell you is you can beat it with a stick, you can put it in water, but listen to me, you need the fire.
Right.
When you get the fire in your experience, brother and sister, the fire is what causes you to kick. The fire is what makes you feel alive. You know what? If you ain't got some emotion, you are dead.
Right.
You sisters ain't never going to look at me the same again. Are you low down? Pray for me. Grace of God. Brother Brown did the same thing. You know, he needed the blood too. You know. Brother Brown, brother, hey, thanks a lot, brother. You know, listen to me. You need the fire, brother and sister.
Right.
When you get the fire inside you, it will cause some emotion. It'll cause some kicking. That don't mean you have to do that all the time. But listen to me, there. Whenever you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, it causes something to stir, and there's usually a lot of noise. Okay. Amen. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." The religious leaders should have been thankful for the healing. How many people would they have known in their congregation that needed healing? And they saw the move of God. And I say that because we are leaders. Every one of you, you are a leader. You are an influence. And you have a certain amount of people that you will influence, brother and sister. And that's why it's so important that we walk in the fullness of this word, because you are the one that's influencing them one way or another. Is that true?
Yeah.
Every person in here, you are a leader of somebody, of something. Let's do it right. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to St. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard it, it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight."
And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to read this quote. He says, now you know, usually where Jesus is, there's a lot of noise. Isn't that strange? They come into the city one day, and they were all making a bunch of noise. And them great old mournful-looking priests said, why, they give me chills and fever. Said, make them hold their peace. He said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will immediately cry out. Life was coming in. Yes, there was. Yes, and there they was, standing out there in all the great mournful condition. Little old Bartimaeus, he was standing out there. He was blind, and he didn't know what to do. And he heard, who is that? And some of them said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Oh, some of them said, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. He was speaking at the rock. The rock rolling down the street, and people screaming and hollering and everything. And they said, now don't trouble the master. I guess he has enough to do. So there's no need of you trying to trouble him. Just hold your peace. Listen to me. If the devil ever puts on your mind, don't you try holding this service up anymore. These people want to go home. People are ready to go home. We got stuff to do. Don't you listen to that. You listen to that and say, you know what? I need to touch Jesus. And when you go with that approach of I need to touch Jesus, listen to me, that's what Brother Daniel is trying to say this morning. Keep trying. The devil will cause you. Me and Brother Tony talked about the service in the office just for a few minutes a while ago, talking about how you need to go pray. And something will happen. You get on your knees. Brother Graham talked about how you get on a gravel. You can't pray there. You move on a little further. You hit thorns. You go another place. There's another reason not to pray. And Brother Tony said, you know what? I've seen that, Brother Daniel, myself. He said, I will go to pray. He said, I know I need to do something for the Lord. He said, what happens? My phone started ringing immediately. And he gave some good wisdom. He said, you know what I learned to do? I know this is probably important, but this is more important. I'm putting this down. Listen to me, whenever you're trying, whenever the Spirit of God is pulling you and compelling you to do something, the devil's going to put a banana peel in front of you to try to interrupt you.
Right.
It's not just leaders in the church of ministry, brother, that is you too.
Right. Right.
Amen. The first thing you know, it says, but that didn't stop him. He wanted to speak with a rock. He screamed that much louder, oh Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And he's blind, have mercy on me. And the first thing you know, his little ears caught the sound. He turned around, and the rock had heard, said, bring him here. Watch, he had his garments on. Now it was cold, sitting there shivering in the cold. He didn't watch where he laid his garments down. He just throwed it on to one side. What? He had gotten contact with the rock. That was it. He got contact with the rock, and oh my, he knowed that was the rock that was in the wilderness. Do you believe it? I believe it. He's here today, don't you? The Holy Spirit promised to come back. The same rock that was in the wilderness, it wasn't that stone, it was the Spirit in that stone. That same thing that's there is with us today, and he spoke to the rock, and Jesus come over and healed him. I want you to grasp the thought of what's happening here. This was a man that was blind. This was a man that had no way to provide for his family. This was a man that was probably dirty and stinky. This was a man that people probably didn't want to be around. We have to be careful sometimes. You go to the store and you'll see the guy that's walking up the street, because you got so many fake people out there with signs of needing money. There's so many fakes out there, we forget there's some real. This Bartimaeus was one of those men. Bartimaeus was a man that was blind, probably stinky, hair probably way too long, face too long, his breath probably stunk. This was a man that was such in such a bad condition. It reminds me of a man when I was in Honduras. His smell was so bad when he walked. We were outside. His smell on him was so bad, it would just almost make your stomach turn from the front, because his smell was so bad. People were so mean to him. And I got the liberty to baptize him in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man gave his heart to the Lord. And we gave him a bath. Sometimes people need some help. Bartimaeus, I'm trying to bring this to a reality to you. Bartimaeus was a man that was blind, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Imagine a sheep that's blind. A sheep cannot protect himself. He can't provide for himself. The only thing a sheep can do is depend upon the shepherd. That's the only thing a sheep can do. If a sheep gets sick, the only thing he can do is depend upon his shepherd. And here was Bartimaeus that was blind. He didn't know what to do. He was scared. He was frightened. He was afraid. He said, what am I going to do? I'm lost. I don't know what to do. And Bartimaeus was sitting there absolutely contemplating himself. What am I going to do to provide for my family? I can't see. I'm blind. I can't see. I have no way to provide for them. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? If you're struggling financially, can you see? That's a blessing. Can you walk? That's a blessing. Are you in prison right now? No, that's a blessing.
Right.
That means you've got opportunity.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Bartimaeus was sitting here and he was absolutely blind. And what he heard, he was listening. He's like, I imagine he was contemplating, what can I do? And I imagine Bartimaeus heard the noise over here. Because remember where Jesus is? He heard noise. And something inside Bartimaeus said, who is that? Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus! And Jesus, I imagine, on the side, Bartimaeus. Jesus knew his voice specifically. Jesus knew exactly what was going through in his heart, brother and sister. And listen, I'm saying this because God knows exactly what's going in your heart. And there will be moments in your life where you feel like you're blind, you're naked, you're wretched, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your number. Jesus knows your worries. Jesus knows your cares. But Daniel, that's too simple. Listen to me. We need to get back to simple. Because you know, why in the world would we think about we need deeper sermons whenever you've got children that are lost? Why in the world do you think we need deeper sermons whenever you've got people in the church that are walking where they need power of God in their life, where they can have the Holy Ghost? When we need young people that can testify, I know I've got the Holy Ghost. I can't say that loud enough. We need the where we can see the power of God in our life. I had a good brother in the church, won't call by name, sent me a quote the other day about the power of God, and I said, you're looking at it. Where is the power of God? I said, I can say you're looking at it. Can you say amen for yourself?
Amen.
I've got the power of God in my life because I see God moving in my life. How many of you can testify? I see the power of God in my life.
Amen.
That was terrible. How many of you can say I've got the power of God in my life?
Amen.
Brother and sister, you should be proud of that. There's a lot of people that don't have that. What is the power of God? It's something inside you that calls you to live this word, and you're not doing it yourself. It's something inside you.
Amen.
Brother and sister, that's the power of God.
Yeah.
I can take you to my parking lot where we work at. There are flowers that are right there on the pavement where they are absolutely beautiful flowers pushing through pavement. Little bitty flowers. What's the purpose? Why? Because it's a flower. And it's got a purpose. And you know what? We may be a small little church. We may be a small group. And a lot of people say, why do you keep going? Why do you keep pressing on? Why? What's the purpose? You're a small family. Why do you keep trying? Why do you keep trying? Why don't you just go the other way? Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just go with everybody else? I'm going to tell you, keep trying. The devil will try to get you to quit. The devil will try to tell you, you know what, it ain't worth it anymore. It doesn't matter. We may as well just go with everybody else. Even Brother Daniel, even you said we're all on the same team. Listen to me. If God's called you to be the bride of Jesus Christ, you will never be happy until you follow this message all the way from your heart. You will never be happy. We need to follow the will of God for our life. Let me tell you something. Every person in this building, you have got a purpose in this life. You have got missions in this life. Where the greatest confidence you can have as a housewife is you know your position in that house. Brother Ben Norah, I think it was, that said the other night, the other day in the service, and I thought it was absolutely profound. He said, if you're a housewife and you're standing in your position, you can hold the vacuum cleaner and you can take every spirit under control under your voice. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You can do that. Whenever your husband becomes unruly, wife, you have the ability to turn that man around. Children, whenever your parents are fighting toward one another, you have the authority that you can say, Lord, by your grace, I ask you to take control of my home. God, I ask you to let that Holy Spirit move in my life as I want you, Lord. I want to see you moving in my life. I want to see you moving in my home. You little children, you have the power of God. Amen. I remember whenever I was going through stress with my back, when I hurt my back, and I didn't know what in the world I was doing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Me and Vicki were stressed. We didn't know how we were going to cover these bills. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And little Elijah walked up, come out of his bedroom. Little fella like that, and he walked naked most of the time. I ain't kidding. Naked. Little Elijah walked over to there, and we were and Vicki were talking. I was just sitting there on my couch. I don't know what in the world we're going to do. We got all these bills coming up, and I had no money coming through at all. Nothing. I had no idea. Elijah walked from his bedroom, walked all the way in there, put his hand on my leg, and said, I'm going to pray for you, Daddy. I'm going to pray for you. Put his head down and went to praying for him, and I tell you what, this is the Spirit of God come down and said, I am rich. I am so rich. And little by little, incomes are coming in, income coming in, income coming in, and here we go. Listen to me, a child this little, listen to me, little people, when you're that little, you have the power of God. You can pray. You can say, God, I ask you to help my family. I ask you to help my church. I ask you to help my Sunday school teacher. I ask you to help my pastor. I ask you to help my daddy get a deer. I go, you boys pray for me. I want a deer. Little kids have the ability, listen to me, you have the power of God. If you believe God and you pray to God, you say, God, I want you to work in my life. God wants to work in your life to where you can testify, I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. Listen to me, young people. You can be able to do that. In your home, in your family, you need to know how to do that. Because you know what? I'm seeing too much, brother and sister, is seeing kids raising up all the way through the message, and they never really know the Lord. Listen to me. You have the power of God. We need to take moments out of our time, and let's minister to the lambs. And say, lambs, you can have the power of God. You can slay Goliath. You can conquer these things. When you've got a homework, Brother Branham said, when you've got a homework assignment and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pass this test. It's so hard. You know what Brother Branham said? Talk to your parents and say, Mommy and Daddy, I ask you to pray with me that I can pass this test. And Mom and Daddy will pray for you, and the power of God will help you pass that test. Am I telling the truth? God will do it, brother and sister. Listen to me, the power of God starts when you're this little, and he'll do it all the days of your life. It's just like simple math, 2 + 2 = 4. And listen to me, you take that same formula all the way up. When you've got a trial, you've got a problem, if you've got godly parents, you can go to your parents and say, parents, I need help. I've got this test coming up, and I don't know what I'm going to do. You can go to your pastor and say, Brother Tony, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got this test. I've got this decision that I've got to make. You can go to the deacon and say, I ask you. The Lord has laid it on my heart so heavy. You listen to the sermon. I've talked about listen to the council. I'm not talking about a council of churches. I'm talking about men with a gift of God inside their life that will show you the word and not their idea, not their opinion. Show you the word and say, you know what? I've got this decision that I need to make. Help me. What should I do? Should I go to the left? Should I go to the right? What can I do? You know what? When you're in a multitude of counselors and you're talking to counselors, they can pray together. Then you're not making this decision by yourself. Then you're not going through this. Because sometimes we find ourselves making decisions on our own, and we make wrong decisions. And then we suffer the consequences. But you know what? There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Not just counselors, good counselors that will show me the word according to the word, according to the Bible, according to the message. Show me. What does it say about this? Listen to me, young people. You're thinking about buying a house? Talk to the counselor. Say, you know what? Hey, I need leadership. I want to do this right. I want God's blessing on my life. You think about taking a job? Go to the counselor and say, hey, pray for me, brothers. Pray for me because I want God's will for my life. If your wife ain't serving the Lord and you really want to serve the Lord, there's safety and a multitude of counselors. Come to the council and say, brothers of the church, pray for me. Sisters of the church, pray for me, because I'm fighting this battle. I'm in this trial, and I don't know what to do. I don't know to go left. I don't know if I should go right. What should I do? You have a multitude of counselors, brothers and sisters. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. And if they're godly brothers and sisters, they're going to point you back to the Word and take them back to the Word. That does not offend me, Brother Tony. I guarantee you. Very times I can say a guarantee, but you know what? I guarantee it would not offend Brother Tony if you take him back to the Word. If it ever come to that point, there's something really wrong. Same thing for me. Brother and sister, there's safety and a multitude of counselors. If you're going through time and you've got questions and you don't know what to do, it's so important to use the assets that's around you. You've got a body of believers here. You're not walking by yourself. You are of a church body that loves you and cares about you and wants you to make the right decisions.
True.
They want you to. I want you to be successful. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be victorious. I want you to be the best of the best at whatever you're doing. If you're vacuuming the floor, I want your house to be clean. If you're mopping the floor, I want it to be clean. If you're doing dishes, if you're doing laundry, if you're doing homework, I don't care what it is. I want it to be the best. And your body does too. Turn to somebody and say, I want you to be the best. I want you to be the best. I want clean floors, by golly. I don't see anyone has dirty floors, but you know what I'm saying. When I worked at William Chevrolet, I was the oil check, and I hate being dirty. I was as clean as I am right now. And my floor was as clean as I ever did. And they said, why don't y'all going to hire an old age tech? He said, because that thing's clean. He said, actually, he's super, super busy all the time. Like, how in the world does he keep that clean? Because I don't like being dirty. Listen to me, spiritually speaking, brother and sister, I don't like being dirty.
Right.
I want to be clean. Yeah. I want fellowship to be clean. I want it to be whenever we shake each other's hand, we can look each other eyeball to eyeball, and there's absolutely no awkward feelings. Because you know what? The Holy Ghost does not produce that. The Holy Ghost, I love that feeling. When you shake your hand, if you notice, when I shake your hand, it's not something I try to do. I just caught myself doing it. I'll hold your hand for just a second. Because what I'm doing, I'm feeling your spirit. Every time I shake your hand, if you notice, you're going to notice I hold your hand. I'm not trying to get friendly with you. I'll hold your hand for just a second. And what I'm doing, I'm looking you right in your eyeball. And if you don't look me back in the eyeball, I know you're fighting something. That's not a condemning feeling. That means Brother Daniel's going to war for you. And I'm going to pray for you. In the middle of the night, I'll get up and I'm praying for you. And the next time I see you, I'm grabbing your hand again. God bless you. And I'll keep looking you right at your eyeball. And if you don't look in the eyeball, you're ready. Because the fire's coming. I want you to do the same thing for me. When you shake my hand, you should be able to look me in. I should be able to look you in your eyeball and say, you are my brother. You are my sister. And Brother Graham talked one time about how you can feel an electric charge when you shake someone's hand. How many knows the quote I'm talking about? When you're talking to a Christian and you're fellowshipping with a Christian, you can shake their hand and you can feel a charge when you shake their hand. Brother Graham talked that one time when he was sitting on the front chair of the church and this guy was preaching. He walked down there and he shook his hand. He went back out there and he went to preaching. He went back and shook his hand. He went back to preaching. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting a charge. Brother and sister, it's not the man. Man's just a man. But you know what? Whenever we're fellowshipping one another, what are we doing? We're getting a charge. We're spending time with one another, or we're getting a charge to where whenever I come to your house, I want to be left edified. And listen to me, I want to be, when you come to my house and you leave my house, I want to be left edified. Listen, because the only way we can do that is when we've got the right connections. Because if you ain't got, we've got light bulbs in here, and they'll work if we work according to the schematics. And Brother Daniel's talking to you about how you can have the fruits of the Spirit in your life. And brother and sister, this is what it talked about. It's whenever you're going back to the blood, going back to the Word, you're not allowing awkward feelings to take place, and you keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. Because you know what? You're going to blow it. How many of you blew it? Liar. We all blow it. There ain't nobody in this building that blows it more than I do. We all blow it. But I don't quit. I get back up. I say, praise God. Let's keep moving. Listen to me. I tell
tell my sons and my daughter all the time, till they're probably sick and tired of hearing it, there will be moments when you blow it. Get back up, knock the dust off your hind end, and start moving forward. Let's all stand. I know I'm right. In areas people don't like to be in. I want you to be successful, brother and sister, because listen to me, whenever something hits your door, and you say, you know what he's talking about don't matter, it doesn't matter to me. Trust me, I have been there. I sit right in the pews where you guys sit when Brother Tony preaches to me or other ministers preach to me. I've been there. You say, you know what, this sermon has nothing to do with me. I'm not doing that. You watch when a trial will hit your door, your thought will go immediately to what you know is not right. And you'll tell yourself all you want, it don't matter, it don't matter, it don't matter. You let a trial hit, and all of a sudden it matters. Told the story how I had the hole in my pants right here, and my son Elijah, again, I'm throwing you on the bus again, I had a hole inside my deal right here, and I had a t-shirt covering the hole. I had Brother Donald Prater and Sister Holly Prater come to the house, and I pulled that shirt down to cover my hole. I said, it don't matter. And Brother Donald comes up to the house, he's got those glasses he'd always wear, and I just love the world. I just love Donald. I just love him. He'd come to the house and always hear that deep voice, and we'd always grill food and all this good stuff. Just an awesome brother. He'd come to the house, and I said, you know what? This thing don't matter. And Elijah walked over there, that little feller, the one that prayed for me, the same guy. That's right. Donald's talking to me, and he said, Hey, Donald, my dad's got a hole in his pants right here. Pulled that thing back down. I'm sitting there, and Donald didn't hear nothing, and he said, Daddy, you got a hole, and he sticks his finger inside the hole. Get out of here. There ain't nobody that will tell on you more than your kids. Your kids will tell about every hole. Am I telling the truth? My kids have told about every hole in my life. You think Brother Daniel must be the holiest person I've ever met? The wrong kind of holy. Listen to me, our kids are watching this, brother and sister. They see us when we argue, and they see us when we make it right. Our kids see us when we pray. Our kids see us whenever we're the little bitty things that we do. Our kids see it. Billy Graham talked about how the man went house to house to house to house. Take a drink, go the next one. Take a drink, go the next one. Take a drink, go the next one. And he was staggering in the snow because he was drinking a little bit. And his son was staggering behind him. He turned behind his kid. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm following your footsteps, Daddy. Listen to me. Our kids will follow our footsteps. It's so important that we walk with all that we can. As mothers, and I'm looking at every one of you in the eyeball. If I could look at my own self in the eyeball, I would. It's so important that we walk this walk the best that we can. Because listen to me. Our kids are watching us. There are certain places where I can go fishing where I know I can go there in myself. I feel very confident I can walk there and fish and be perfectly safe. But you know, if I've got my kids when they were little, I would not go there. You know why? Not because I don't think I couldn't handle it. It's because I know my kids couldn't handle it. Because you're walking in an area, and you know, I remember one time I was with my Uncle James and we were fishing, and he kept telling me, Daniel, you're going to fall down that bank. You're going to fall down that bank. I said, no, I'm not. I got it. It was at the river. And you always think just a little further is where the fish is. Cast a little further. But for some reason, us guys, we've got to keep going and keep going, keep going. He said, Daniel, you keep going, you're going to fall down the pit. I said, I'm all right, I got this. I know where I'm at. I got vines right here. I'm in control. I've got this. I kept going further. He said, Daniel, you're going to fall. Daniel, you're going to fall. And Daniel, you're going to fall. Guess what it did? I was catching that fish, and it did not happen all at once, but all of a sudden, I lost my footing, and before I even knew it, I had slid over probably 10 or 12 feet down into the water, straight down in a mud pit, into where I get into the water, and it's water moving very quickly. Vines were holding around here, and I kept trying to grab the vines, I kept trying to pull them, and I tried to climb a little bit, and I kept sliding further down, and I'm talking fast current that was going down the road, down the deal. And here I am, the mud pit is, the top is way up there, and I'm thinking, I'm probably 16 years old, and
I'm trying to get out. I'm trying to get out. I'm grabbing the mud. I'm grabbing the vines. And everything I grab is falling. Brother and sister, I could have drowned. The whole time, I had somebody warning me, don't go there. 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 And I kept saying, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. And it can change just like that. If my uncle had not been there, I'd probably drown that day. I would have probably drowned that day. I mean, it's because I kept overriding the voice that kept telling me and warning me and warning me and warning me. Listen to me, brother and sister, we need a multitude of counselors to where we are in a body, to where we are saying, hey, we need each other. I need your help. I need your counsel. Because you know what? Tomorrow I'll be the most beat down person you've ever seen in your life. Because it's Monday morning after preaching. Brother Tony, you ever feel that way? There's moments in my life, brother and sister, where I feel beat down. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I have no idea how I'm going to get through this trial. And that's when I need my brothers and my sisters. Amen. And when I'll come into the church, and Sister Brittany will start beginning to play that piano. And sometimes Sister Anna will play the piano. And the Spirit of God will begin to come down. And that darkness that was so prevailing over my life will begin to break. And your ministry is breaking my clouds. Elijah coming on Wednesday night, and that boy smelled like gasoline and oil and everything else. And he says, you know what? Why does it matter for me? Why don't I just quit? Why couldn't I do that? But you know what? Something inside him says, you know what? This is for the Lord. I'm going to do it. And the little body of believers here and the people that are straining are fighting battles. And then whenever you get up there, son, and you're standing behind this pulpit, and whenever you stink, you may smell like this, you may look like, you know what, why are you even doing that? But listen to me, whenever you are doing that and you're being led by the Lord and throughout the day and you're praying, you're saying, God, give me the songs you want me to sing. God, I'm not a good singer. I might do this. Lord, help me do it. And I think you're a fabulous singer. But you know what? Whenever you're doing it, you go before the Lord and you're being led by the Lord. Listen to me. You are releasing the power of God. Because when you're singing those songs and the worshipers are here, they fought battles, they labor, they've gone through their trials. And you know what? They come and their armor gets heavy and they come for a fill-up on a Wednesday night. And you get up there and you begin to sing those songs. You're breaking barriers. You're opening the power of God upon the church. And whenever, and listen to me, it matters, brother and sister. When you come in church and you raise your hand, it matters. Because you're opening the power of God. I was standing back there and I saw Sister Hannah raise her hand up. And I saw Brother Brian raise his hand up. Look over and I see a little bitty hand, a little thumb sticking out. I'm not sure who it was. And I felt the presence of God begin to come down. How? Because they raised their hand up. Defy gravity. Say, God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. Listen to me. The little things that you do, that listen, you are opening up heaven. Whenever you're going in your car, I know I'm taking off, but listen to what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to get a target. Whenever you're going through home and you're going in your vehicle and you don't feel nothing. I don't feel God. I don't hear God. I don't see God. You start praising him. You say, God, you are worthy. You are worthy of my praise. You are so awesome. I may have made a mess of things, but you are awesome. And you start praising God, and you watch how the presence of God will come right down into your vehicle. And he'll begin to move mountains, brothers. He'll start changing things because you are doing what you are called to do to create an atmosphere. It's where you are defying gravity. You're defying the odds. You're saying, you know what? Because you know what? It should be absolutely impossible for us to move in this hour. It's absolutely dark. Thousands of thousands of thousands of thousands of devils are coming at each and every one of us every single day. Coming at us every time, every time, every time, every time. But we keep moving forward. We keep moving forward. And sometimes you may feel like you ain't hitting a lick. You think Job felt like he was hitting a lick? Job probably felt like he was the most defeated person in the world. But he kept moving forward. How much musicians to come forward? Whenever you do the little things that you do in this life, listen to me, young people, whenever you do the little things that you do and you raise your hand up to the Lord, you're breaking barriers. Whenever the minister's preaching and you say, amen, you're breaking barriers. Whenever you're going to the song service and when someone's singing and you put your voice into it and you're singing, you're breaking barriers. Because a lot of times we think, you know what, I'm not big enough. I can't do that. I'm just a sister in the church. I'm just a brother in the church. You are not just a sister. You are not just a brother. You are a soldier. You are called of God. You've got a mission in this life. You have got a purpose in this life. And God wants to use you. God wants to use you when you're on the job. When you see that sister that you're working with and she's going through trial and there's all these bad things happening to her, you can be the ministry. You can be the witness. You can be the one that can talk to her and say, hey, you're going to be okay. I serve a God that answers prayer. I'm going to pray for you. Because you know what? Listen to me, brothers. I read the scriptures where he talked about Jesus going through it and people were weary. They were tired. They were beat down. And Jesus, but he felt so sad for them. He said, because the laborers are few. He said, look at them. He said, they're like sheep with no shepherd. They're scattered. Brother and sister, it's everywhere. People are dying. They're suffering. They're tired. They don't know what to do. That's our job. That's our mission. That's what we're supposed to do, is where we can say, hey, I serve a God that answers prayer. I serve a God that can put your marriage back together. I serve a God that heals. Let me share my testimony of what God's doing in my life. Let me share my testimony. Let me share my light. I was lost. Listen to me, brother and sister. I remember when I was in that little house that I lived in. I remember at 1 o'clock in the morning, I would be sitting there with a beer in my hand because I was so angry because of the cards that were dealt to me. I was so angry, so frustrated, and night after night after night, I worked 2 full-time jobs and went to school. I'd go to school till 10:30, and I'd go to my first job at Atwoods and work till 8 o'clock. I'd get up there and go to Taco Bell and work till close. I did it 6 days a week and sometimes 7. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was lost. And I didn't know what to do. And you know, the people that would try to go to church, they would look at me like I was trash. I'd go to school, and I remember one church I went to, and I sat down. I didn't want to try to sit by anybody. I just sat inside the church, and I sat by a woman, and the deacon came by and told me I had to leave and go sit somewhere else. Because he thought I was trying to deal with a girl. I just wanted Jesus. I needed some help. And I remember I was at that rock and roll party, brother and sister, and bodies hit the floor. And the worst song you can imagine is somewhere. The voice spoke to me, and I knew I have a shepherd. I knew I had a savior. I knew I had a king. And God put a light on me. And my life was an absolute mess. And God, piece by piece, began to put me back together again. Brother Tim Pruitt, it's such a beautiful story. The Lord inspired him to talk about that china that you can do, and you'll take the broken vase that's so beautiful. When it's broken, they'll take gold and put that vase back together. And that vase at one time was worth just so little. It's worth 10,000 times more now because of the gold that's holding it together. And listen to me, that's the way it is with a son and daughter of God. Whenever you've got a life that's broken and God puts you back together again, and it's the God inside your life that makes you more valuable than you ever were, and nothing bad ever happened to you. Oh God, help me to live this gospel. Help me to live a life worthy of the gospel. Lord, help me to stop missing opportunities. Help me to focus, Lord, on my mission, that I want to be a light in this hour. Anybody needs prayer, the altar is open to you. You don't have to come to the altar. You can pray right where you're at. I'm going to tell you something. There's a presence of the Lord to hear this morning. Let's reach out to him. Let's invite him.
every brother to come forward. Brothers, he wants his wife to serve God. He wants God to serve. Let's just call out. Oh, God, we call on you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Let my wife love me.
We're calling on you for his wife,
Lord.
He wants to serve you, Lord
God.
Lord, I ask you to break every chain.
We need you, Lord.
Lord God, there's safety in a multitude of counselors, oh God. I ask you to bring your anointing to him, Lord. Lord, would you so anoint his heart in the home, Lord? Oh, God, bring a love into his heart, Lord Jesus. We call on you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, break every chain in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Oh, touch us with your spirit now, Lord. We fortify ourselves in your word, Lord. Would you anoint my brother's life, Lord, and you create an atmosphere in that home, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, such a love, Lord God, that you'll just overwhelm with the grace of God, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, let there be light, Lord. We call on your name in Jesus' name, Father.
Here I stand. he remembers Brother Branham telling that if a crow flying over could look down and he could see a scarecrow in a field, and he could think, he'd say, you know, there's something down there that they don't want me to get. Because the farmer would not take the time and spend the effort to put a scarecrow out there unless there was something he wanted. And you know, we need to identify that in our own lives. Satan wouldn't be attacking you unless there was a reason. He knows that God's got his hand on your life. And I pray so that when you're out there and in the battles, not just when you're in here, because when you're in here and this preaching drives back all the things that's entering you and it's so clear and you say, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. But when you get out there and you're at work and all that, and then the devil comes at you, I pray that right at those moments that you're inspired back to what you heard today to realize that right there you can take a stand. You know, the scripture said, if you resist the devil steadfast, right, he will flee from you.
Right.
Not just walk away. I mean, I want to make devil run.
Yes.
I want to make devils run. And the thing is just be steadfast in this word. Amen. And watch the devil flee because he can't do anything else. Amen. We are so thankful that God is faithful to his word. Just hold to it. Amen. And he attacks you, especially those of you that are gifted with gifts in your life to sing and different things. Well, Satan certainly goes right after that. Right? So we just hold all of the blood of Jesus Christ over every one of those things. Let's just sing this. Some midnight hour. Thank you. Operation Rise, we're right now, we need to have prayer. Thank you, saw Sister Vicky and Sister Shirley leave a little while ago, and that's because Sister Shirley's mother passed. So we just want to ask the church now just to bow your hearts and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's times like this. We see our friends and our family, our loved ones hurting, Lord. When tragedy strikes, Lord, we know that it's times like this that they need a comforter that only you can provide. Lord, as we bow our hearts right now, we're coming to the best place, best one that we could ever consider coming to, and that's you, Lord, asking God that you let your presence come to this family now. Lord, that you would touch Sister Sherry, Sister Vicky, and the kids. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be so near, so present. God, that you just let that sorrow, Lord God, just be touched by your hand. And Lord, that you would just, in this time of sorrow, that you would do great things, Lord. May you touch that family in every which way, Lord, that it's needed, God, that your blessings would flow to them. Give them strength, Lord. Give them guidance over the days ahead. Lord, just be that comforter that they need now. We ask it in Jesus' name.